Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilow, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here. Tommy, what a beautiful day to be inside. Here in Melbourne, lockdown's lifted, the sun is out, and we are in an apartment with
blinds
the aircon
on. Yes. Aircon, full velocity.
Yes.
A sunny day, or as they call it... Gamer's rain.
What the hell's going on there? Turn that mic on and say that again.
Fuck, I'm not going to say it again. Well, you didn't do a fucking sound check before. You're in charge of this.
That's very true. That's very true. I didn't say it wasn't on me. I just asked you to turn it on.
Yeah, well, you said it in a way that that implied like I'd fucked it up.
I was annoyed at myself for not being able to capture that. I think
so
you'd be
should
able to,
be everybody else.
You'd be able to hear it. Faintly in the background.
Yeah, if you want to hear what I said, because it was pretty funny.
It was good.
I thought calling the sun Gamer's Rain was funny. And I said it again, but in a sneaky way that made it so I wasn't just repeating the joke.
Yeah. Adam, can you just switch that off for me?
Don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want with this microphone, and you can't stop me
doing exactly what I want.
No, fuck.
God. You do still have the volume dial, Tommy.
I do. Yeah. I'm back in the saddle.
Yep.
Not being able to control you guys over Zoom, it's been torture. But we're back. Second week back in the same room. Mm. Week two of the PS5 being out.
Yes.
Well, one full week at this point. I guess.
For some people, one day.
Yeah.
Well, for people in not Europe, even by the time we're recording, not even 24 hours at this point.
True, for people in Europe too, they've had it for 0 days. It comes out tomorrow there.
Does it really?
Oh. Yeah, there was that week gap, remember?
Ah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm.
So everyone listening last week, hearing you guys complaining about not getting it for like 24 hours.
This is business as usual for us.
Ah, but we are in no rush.
Ay, caramba!
Where's that? That's just a French guy watching
Simpsons.
Speedy Gonzales. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
I get PlayStation 5, I make love to beautiful women. It's a big deal.
I don't enjoy either, but it fills the void before I die.
mine turned up finally last night. I had the Amazon page just sitting on the arriving today, the very vague, like not out for delivery yet, getting later and later into the afternoon of me going, Dad's not coming home for Christmas. It's not happening. He's gone out for cigarettes 18 years ago. He's never coming back. And then my buzzer went. And I answered it. And it's
if
the guy
this
like,
rest of this story is you just describing a delivery taking place.
No, I was so
I'm going to reach over there and turn your microphone off.
I had to go out at a certain point, and I didn't want to leave the house and have it be because they were going to take it to the post office if I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Then I'd get back. Post office would be closed. Da da da. So, guy buzzes me and I pick up and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll be right down. And he's like, are you coming or not? Because he can't hear me and he's making it sound like he's about to leave. So then it's just me screaming into the phone going, wait there! And just like racing through the apartment building to get down to the front
Kevin!
Door. got it set up and had myself a fair little time with Astro's Playroom, Demon's Souls and Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yep.
Kilometers Nox. Morales.
Nox, what was your experience of getting your PS5 delivered?
Yeah, it showed up and I don't care anymore about anyone saying that it's late. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good, it's good shit,
I'm
isn't
bored
it?
Of it already.
Yeah, I know.
I want to hit the pub tonight.
I've played Demon's Souls on the PS3. Who cares? But it's cool. It definitely has confirmed my suspicions. Anyone who did miss out on a PS5 yet, like it's cool to have, but you're fine for ages, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But it's very nice. I like it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Very nice.
Here we go. Yeah.
I apologize for not saying it the correct way that we legally have to in a post-Borat 2 world.
Yes.
I played Astro's Playroom as well. We've all finished that at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. I've played some Demon's Souls. I've played some of that new Call of Duty.
Mm.
And I tried a couple of games with the PS4 to PS5 upgrading stuff to see how that goes.
Sure.
So we can talk about all of that in the forthcoming episode. When are we hitting record?
We're still in the cold open, I guess.
Yeah.
Getting into an argument about your mic being off when it's not even recorded.
There aren't many podcasts that do cold opens. Hey?
No, I think, yeah. Have we discussed
that would be
kind of
cool.
Think,
and then you kick into the intro at some point.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Okay.
I'm not going to bother editing it like that this week, but maybe one day we change it.
Hey, yeah. Anytime you guys
want to trademarked idea,
it.
By the way. If anyone else does a cold open on a podcast, fuck off.
Yeah. Mm. It would be funny if you were to like edit it halfway through a sentence.
Yeah, tense. Yes. But I'm not going to do it. Don't make me dig for where this is.
Yeah. Live from my apartment, it's video games. Yeah, it would be. I would love. Hey, if we could just get rid of me having to say all that stupid bullshit at the start, I'd love that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd love that either way.
Yeah.
Anyway,
come on, mate.
So,
come on, mate.
Yeah, everything that people have said about the PS5 and that you said last week, Ben, is true.
Yes.
Pretty big, but not as big in real life as I thought it would
right.
be.
Right. But Tommy, your opinion of the appearance of the PS5 changed wildly since seeing it in person, swung from one end of the spectrum to the other. Because
yeah,
you're
I
a big fan. You're a defender, I feel like, initially against
First
us.
First reveal.
Yeah.
I feel like I was one of the few people in the Facebook group, at least, that was pretty into it.
Mm.
And, yeah, I don't know. In like, I don't know, for the size that it is, I don't think that... I like the design more when I thought it was smaller. I can't quite put it into words, but it's something about... It looks... The design of it being
crazy.
That big, too, it looks unwieldy. When I thought it was smaller and it had a little more... Bit more elegance to it.
Right.
I don't know.
After all the talk of us making fun of people pointing out that it was big, you still literally didn't understand that it was big.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understood that it was big, but it just looks...
But you...
That design looks different to what I thought it would look based on the size.
It also looked bigger in person than I thought it was. I was genuinely surprised.
I wonder if this has anything to do with height. That's a genuine thing I'm wondering about.
So
I'm
statistically, it takes up more of me.
Yeah.
It's a bigger percentage of my body than it is of yours.
Exactly. I
yeah,
wonder
okay.
if I'm less intimidated by it because I'm not afraid it's going to beat me up.
I will say, now that I'm sitting here at the table, further away from it, which I haven't had this perspective yet since I got it, I'm more into it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe my opinion of the size has been influenced by the fact that it's been fucking my wife in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is a little intimidating.
I don't know. It looks a little more plasticky than I thought it did.
That's kind of what I mean. Right. Yeah, it's like the bits pointing out of it, like the little curves at the end.
It's a little flimsier.
When they're so big, they feel flimsier and it makes it feel a bit more like delicate and a bit cheaper than if it was a bit like smaller and compact and compressed, it would feel like a lot smoother and elegant.
Sure. Yes.
None of this matters in the slightest.
You're not
and I still
it
think it's
ever.
Great.
Yeah,
who
yeah,
cares?
Yeah.
But it was just like, it was just interesting to be like really into the pictures and then like get it out of the box and be like, oh, this kind of looks a bit less. I kind of get what... I can kind of see now in it what people were seeing in it that didn't like it when it was first.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
it still looks the same to me. I've just become accustomed to it. But I do think it still is a bit goofy. And it does look out of place in most living rooms.
Mm. Yes.
There's been obviously a bunch of photos being posted like, I got my PS5. Goodbye, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent too much money on a PS5 and she left me.
Yep.
And it... looks weird in most places.
It really does. There's no like... I've got just about the best cabinet you could have to put it in on its
huge
side.
Huge gaping holes.
Yes.
Yeah, and it...
Your favourite.
It just about looks okay. That's kind of like the best you could have it look in terms
I
of like...
I even think it looks...
I mean,
but
it,
even for that, it's still like... Yeah.
Oh, old VCRs and stuff like that. Those big chunky 80s, 70s ones. Those are the sort of size that it is. And I mean, whatever. You don't have a choice. Unless you want to wait 3-ish years probably. Mm.
Well,
until they do the revision.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking last night was the slim version of this.
I'm a slim version.
Yeah, I was visited by the PlayStation 5 of past, present, and future.
Yeah, PlayStation 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, the...
Or 7, I get. 1, 5, and like 11.
Yeah.
Sure.
The,
I forgot what the future was.
The slim version of this, eventually, the refined version of it, will look great.
Possibly.
Yeah. And especially playing Astro's Playroom, which is all about the history of the PlayStation.
And it's so nice too. Yeah, man. That, because as much as we say the console feels a little less... They're promoting it as like this very premium thing and all that stuff, and it doesn't come across that way in real life, I don't think, necessarily.
It looks a little bit like an Alienware PC tower that's got white external
totally
parts,
but the
right?
controller 100% lives up to it feels amazing. The weight of it is perfect.
I love the D-pad, I love the clear kind of crystally look of the button. They don't have that cheap D-paddy buttony kind of feel that a lot of controllers tend to have.
The sticks are great. The size is fantastic. The mute button is nice for stuff like Call of Duty where you do want to talk sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes an N-word slips out. You just
cram it down there and you get to keep working for Disney.
Yeah. You come up with a great joke for the start of the podcast, but you had it pressed down, unfortunately. I like how heavy it feels as well. Yeah. Weirdly, I don't know why. It just feels, like a real solid thing.
The detailing, the kind of black inner that around the bottom of the prongs is kind of flattened a bit.
Right.
I don't know how to really describe that, but that's got a really nice feel to it.
Yeah. You nailed it.
Oh, thanks.
Dude, you got it done. Yeah. If you'd have been like, it's that thing where it's like curved, that would have been wrong.
It's like a banana that someone sat on. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing where it's like...
It's like your mama's ass.
Less dimensions than it used to have.
I'm saying it would have been wrong because she's thick. But the controller is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The haptic rumble stuff in it, I was honestly slightly underwhelmed by all the bigging it up.
So what?
Me too, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's cool, but I don't think it's... I think it feels very similar to what the HD Rumble demos
were feeling.
I don't think it's any tech that's like much greater than that.
No. I think it's probably the same,
has not ended up being used in anything other than a demo game that came out at launch. So it's a cool effect, but I'm still skeptical that we'll ever see it put into much more practical application.
It's definitely not giving me that sense of texture that people were saying they felt with it, where it like water felt like a splash and the gravel felt gravelly and all that stuff. It's just doing more minute or more detailed versions of the same rumble that was in the PS4 controller.
Right.
It's better, but it's similar. But the triggers are fucking sick.
Yes. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're really way cooler than I thought they would be.
My favorite bits of the haptic rumble in Astro's Playroom are the subtle moments, and I kind of wish that there were more of them in the game. Like his little footsteps registering every time you walk is really cool. The little bits of rain feel cool. Mm. And then, when you're controlling it as a spaceship and you've got that real resistance in the triggers and it's rumbling as well in the bit where you're in the monkey suit and you're grabbing on the little zipper and everything.
They can really push back on you a lot harder than I thought. And so I've been playing a bunch of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, the worst fucking name. Just three people yelling out a name at once. And unfortunately, they were naming it with Siri and it picked up all three of them.
That's great. So that's four, we'll say the one word that we think the game should be called.
So you think it should be Call of Duty. I think it should be Black Ops. You think it should be Cold War. Mm-hmm. Let's all make a decision, though, and say it all at the same time. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Medal of Honor!
Yes. Did we all say different?
I think we all had a joke right? Yeah.
No, I knew you guys were going to do that, so I was like, I'd better play it straight. I'll be the straight man for
get
once
a load
in my life.
Old fucking Abbott over here.
I said bug snacks, Tommy. I hope you heard that.
So the name is dumb, but the left trigger feels like you are lifting the weight of whichever weapon you happen to be pulling out to do the aim down sights, and the right trigger pushes back against you with every shot of an automatic weapon. You have to squeeze it down for a sniper rifle. Mm. Having to do like the bow in Demon Souls where you feel tension in it. It fucking is really awesome.
Right.
When you're in Astrobot, there's a bit where you're sort of clinging onto something and it is running over some rivets.
Yeah.
You said rivets.
The zip thing, yeah.
not frogs, yeah. And it goes tick, 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 and feels like little road bumps, and that bit is really fucking
good. I see. I wanted more of that kind of stuff in that game. For a game that I love the game, but for a game that is built around showing off the stuff that the haptic rumble can do,
sure.
I wanted more moments like that felt like something I hadn't had in a controller, because you get that bit of subtlety that feels great, and then you are up on a cliff and a huge boulder comes down and the controller is just vibrating its little ass off, which is stuff that we've felt since the Rumble Pack in like 1998.
And you those know, deeper not. Rumbles that you got in the, like the prongs of the older controllers, you know what I mean? Like the big rumble that spins.
Yep.
That isn't quite there. It's not as, this will sound stupid, but bassy of a rumble.
Yeah.
It's a lot more trebly of a rumble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess it's something of an audiophile.
It's trying to be more...
I fucked stereo. That's got to be an old joke.
It's trying to be more subtle, I guess. So it's not just like, all right, this one goes big when you get, when you fall off and thing and die. I don't know.
It'd be nice if it had that big rumbly, like it's not rumbly anymore. It's buzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? It's haptic feedback. It's not rumble.
Well,
it ain't Rumble.
This ain't your granddaddy's Rumble.
Yeah.
But I miss those big bombastic booms. Mm. But I do fucking love the triggers to the point where that controller and just having everything unified on a PS5, I think I want to rebuy games that I bought on like the Xbox.
Oh, sure.
Just to have them all. But and like the old generation games don't work with it anyway, so that's a stupid feeling.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like I've played Valhalla on it, the PS5 version. I don't think there was really any significant use of the triggers or the HD, sorry, the haptic feedback. It's very subtle in Spider-Man when you're swinging around. There's like these weird little sort of clicks, I think, that are meant to be when he's shooting the web out.
Right.
But aside from that, I feel like it is only just like very clear, like simple, flat, rumbly stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed it a bunch in Spider-Man.
Stuff like, I want to play some like Dirt 5 or something maybe to feel if like, I could imagine racing games being very good.
Racing
and like,
would be cool, yeah.
Mm,
it is just a nice thing to have. It isn't revolutionary. And if you don't have a PS5, you're not missing that much.
It's weird at the very start of Astrobot, it has a thing where it gets you to tilt the controller around and you can feel stuff moving around in there.
Yeah.
Similar to the HD Rumble demo in the Joy-Con. But then it's not anywhere else in the game other than just a thing in the... I thought that was weird to not have an effect where, yeah, I don't know, something hops into the controller. You have to like hold a thing and move it for something that's meant
to
show it off. And the way people had written about it in previews, I really thought there was going to be a lot more stuff that where they kind of really went for it. And it is a really fun game and the moments that are brilliant are really brilliant. Mm. But then there's a lot where you're just kind of doing, fun platforming and you can feel his little footsteps and that's really cool. And combined with the speaker in the controller, which is nothing super new, but
something I do like about it is it being a middle ground between being something gimmicky and something like practical.
Yeah,
where like it's not adding really to like any specific actions that you're taking. You don't need the feedback from that to make a decision with something. You know what I mean?
No,
right?
Yeah,
which is something that might be the case if they had used that motiony haptic feedbacky thing in the game. That's something where it's like maybe you do have to guess where something's going to be or move something.
But then maybe that starts becoming difficult to do and more gimmicky than we're imagining. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this feels like it's all just adding to the experience. Mm. There's nothing being taken away with like old Wii stuff where like there'd be those Mario Galaxy levels where you'd have to use it like a joystick and you fucking dreaded them every time.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah.
So I think it's like a good...
It's, I mean,
compromise between
that's the thing about it, though, is like the bits that use it really well in Astro's Playroom use it so well. Like specifically, the feeling where you're controlling a little rocket ship and left and right triggers are left and right boosters and they've got, big resistance to them. So they have real weight to them and it's kind of rumbling like a rocket ship and you've got it. That feels so immersive. But also that's like such a cartoony effect that at the moment I'm finding it hard to imagine those kinds of effects being used in a game that isn't very cartoony and kind of has the license to be very over the top and like, oh yeah, look, you know, he's a monkey in it. You know what I mean? Like having like a subtle shooting game where you're having this kind of stuff go on or
honestly,
a realistic kind
of
like space
Last
exploration
of Us 3
game
or something. Yeah,
I can't
Black
really
Ops
imagine
is
it.
Doing it.
Yeah,
kind of,
right.
Where like different weapons have different resistances on the trigger and it changes the way that you use them.
Mm.
You know, so that does feel pretty cool. But yeah, like that little spaceship, you can control it so much more minutely because the triggers are so resistant to you that you can get a lot more specific depth to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a fun fucking game. I love that first one, the VR one, or the first full one.
Yep.
And this is just as good to me.
And
it's
we talked
short,
about it a bit last week that, it's awesome that PlayStation is now at a point where it has this kind of heritage that they can make a whole game that is just dipping into it. And obviously big chunks of it don't land for me in quite the same way because I didn't have one until the PlayStation 3. But, you know, I still know culturally what the first boot up music and all that stuff sounds like, and all of that being used, and all of it being used in all these, like, yeah, these great different ways of beyond just like collecting the artifacts, like the way that all the levels are themed.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's cool that I would love to see what this team do now with this character. I'd love them to do a new PSVR headset that is lightweight in the way Oculus is, and high quality screen like the Oculus is, and uses these haptic feedback things for an Astro's VR sequel. But what's great about this being a pack-in now as well, and we were saying last week that they're kind of clearly thinking of Astro now as like, he's kind of become their mascot. He's sort of their de facto mascot now. Having him as a pack-in is like, just makes him, there's so much recognition now for him for whatever next game they put him in, because everyone got this game included on the console.
Yeah.
So whatever thing they make with him next in it now and put on sale, it's just such a great piece of like, branding and marketing for the next little thing that they make with him.
Totally. Like Alex Kidd. He'll never die. The idea of a full one of these that isn't just like this, you can knock it out if you're just zipping through it in like 2 hours-ish, maybe less. And then if you gather all the little bits and pieces, it takes a bit longer, but not that much. But it's really, really fun and creative the whole time, in the same way that the VR one was, where like everything kind of happens until you get sick of it and then it's done.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you realize like there's lots of little dotted around the levels. There's all the little Astrobot characters are doing these little act outs of classic PlayStation game scenes that you stumble across, and just even realizing that like the PlayStation has enough of a history now. And so much of that is just from the last generation as well.
Sure.
Like they now are like, Horizon Zero Dawn, one of the greats.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, people like it enough.
Hey, yes, 7 out of 10, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the goods.
But they have really, in that last like generation, like really, really cemented themselves. And like that's really cool to see them have that kind of that library of IPs. And
that's their pitch compared to Microsoft going into this next generation. It's like, we've got all these things that
I feel
are
like
ours.
They are very, very lucky that the rejuvenation of God of War worked.
Yeah.
Because now that is probably a bigger tentpole than Horizon. Well, at least for me.
I would say so.
I love
sure,
it as a game, Yeah,
and I'd forgotten that this was a thing, because it doesn't really, you know, I've played most of them already, but like booting it up and that they did that PS Plus collection thing where if you missed the PlayStation 4 for a subscription fee, basically their version of Game Pass, you get
like 20 or something.
Heaps of the big hits from the PS4, like day dot, just on there ready to go, which is just an amazing incentive if you missed that. I've got a friend who missed that last year and he didn't know that existed. He was like, honestly, that's sold me.
Yeah.
Like
right.
Being able to get that day one and just have Persona's there, God of War's there.
And it likely makes up the difference in price between a PS4 now and a PS5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're each $25 or something. They're all like the classic prices and stuff. Mm. And so you're getting basically all of the very good games other than the ones that came out in the last year or so.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
We've played them all.
Yep.
But
yep.
like... that doesn't mean other people can't enjoy themselves.
Totally.
It means I'll be angry at them for doing it.
I was thinking last night as I was playing Astro's Playroom, like, is this going to be, you know, every console has its flaws a couple of months down the line that people discover, whether it's fans overheating or like Joy-Con drift or whatever. Like, I'm waiting for, in 6 months' time, the feedback on the triggers, just not whatever the thing is that's pushing it up on the other end, people going like, mine's fucking dropped out and now it's not giving me the same like response thing. Because it's anytime you've got like tech like this, I always kind of stress out a bit, because I go, this is gonna degrade, and in like 2 years' time it's probably not gonna feel as like solid as it does now. I don't know how they're made, but
there are a few things coming out already about like the PS5 itself, where like people are reporting that the cooling coil things are whining really high pitched. So if you can still hear that high pitch, it's very loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't hear it, so either mine's fine or I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are like bricking themselves coming back from the rest mode thing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially playing Spider-Man,
the
apparently.
The ultimate rest.
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes. The long rest.
I know, I hit eternal rest mode.
I got a full like console crash today when I was playing Spider-Man.
That's been happening a bit to people too,
like,
apparently. Yeah.
Turn it off at the PowerPoint sort of situation, which was a little worrying.
So they're updating the firmware and all that stuff. Like, that'll probably be smoothed out. I doubt a lot of that is like hardware.
Mm.
problems other than maybe that coil thing, but it sounds I don't know how widespread that is.
I've been hearing the fan. I don't know if you guys like occasionally I've been hearing something. It'll sound like a
I think that's the disc sometimes. Okay. Is it when you're installing stuff?
No. I even think it's been when I've been playing digital downloaded games.
Right.
But you got this almost the same time that you moved into your new house.
Yes.
So how can you be certain that it's not just the house?
That's true.
And
that's
you do
true.
Have your PS5 next to the fridge.
Yeah. Which I live underneath a flight path.
You live next to that computer fan shop.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, true.
I haven't really heard anything. It's pretty fucking silent for me.
Right. And when I've been hearing that, it's been for like maybe 5 seconds and then it goes back to being completely silent.
Sure. It could be happening. Like, yeah. It's definitely no the comparison to the noises people complain about the PS4 making.
Yeah. Mm.
I tend to wear headphones anyway, so.
Yeah,
and the
true,
headphone
yeah.
jack on the thing. They've been talking about that 3D audio stuff.
Yeah.
I can't tell the fucking difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can do it with any headphones, apparently.
Oh, really? Okay.
I guess, but I can't tell the difference for me, honestly.
I mean, yeah, a lot of this stuff, we're not really going to get the full usage of it for a little while.
Mm. Sure. I think that stuff is meant to just be automatic. Like, it's just 3D positional audio.
It's, yeah, yeah, right. It's yeah, okay.
So it should be, but I do. Maybe
but I mean,
it's
a game that, like, uses it in a way where...
Yeah, like those old, those old 5.1 speaker demos you get on things where someone from behind you going, hello. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Make a whole game out of the Dolby ad, the helicopter flying through the city.
Yes. And then Xbox release a THX one.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So the other... Well, we've all also played... I guess you and I played some of the PS5 version of Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
And that's another good thing about the PS4 is that, like, downloading PS4 games works fine.
Mm-hmm.
They all seem to work. It said for me on the menu that Resident Evil 2 wouldn't work for some reason, but I don't think
that's
true.
Was that the demo?
Maybe it was.
A few of the demos I saw grayed out in my library.
That could be it, because it's confusing the different versions. So it'll list all different versions of one game in the same place, and it's pretty easy to accidentally download the PS4 version of something if you own the PS5 version.
That's what
I've
heard. Yeah, that it as a default will download the PS4 automatically or something.
It hasn't done it as a default for me with, like, Call of Duty was the PS5, and I went and checked that, but it's simple to do it.
Right.
Right.
It's easy to make that mistake.
I downloaded No Man's Sky after I heard or, you know, read up that they have released like a PS5 patch for it.
Right.
Or a PS5 version. That was all very unclear. When I went to download, I was like, I'm not sure which version it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't say PS4 in the game library, so I think it must be the upgraded version.
I think it would be then. You can check if you go like next to it, there's three dots, and even then it's like not super clear.
Right.
It's a bit annoying. They could clean that up a bit.
It's a bit, yeah, I was able to easily...
And that'll stop mattering in 6 months, I guess,
true,
too.
Yeah.
I was able to easily go and, yeah, get games that I have on my user account from my library, like Death Stranding and a couple of other things, and re-download them. But what I thought it might do automatically was transfer my save data over as well.
Right.
But I have to go and do that separately, I found out.
Right.
And I don't really... I had to ask a friend. It's like, oh, you go into your PS Plus membership thing and it's in the cloud. It's a bit I kind of just thought... It's, you know, you go to library and it's got it all there. I kind of thought that they'd be linked.
Mm.
That's all a bit clunky in that way.
Whatever.
But it works
when you get to it. Yeah.
And Assassin's Creed Valhalla is a good comparison between a PS4 and 5, because on the PS4 Pro, it was running at 30 frames sluggishly. It was kind of, it would look good, but it wasn't like 4K or whatever. And now it is crisp and fast on the PS5. It looks great. Couple of little graphical bugs I noticed, but that might have been a coincidence that because it has that shit anyway. It's a Ubisoft game. But the PS4 to 5 upgrade thing worked easily. I had a disc version of it. I was just like, you own it, so good for you. Here we go.
Stop fucking going on about it. This menu berating you for like
one. We get it. Oh, Mr. Collector.
Ooh,
well done.
La-dee-da.
So that ran just fine.
Because you were surprised to hear last week when we were talking about it that, Ben's experience with it on PS5 versus yours on PS4 Pro, you're having a lot of loading times in between cutscenes and stuff. So that's all
completely way better
PS5.
On the PS5 one.
Hell yeah.
I took a little more notice after we chatted about it last week, and there's some load initially when you boot up the game.
Yeah,
I noticed that in Valhalla specifically. But yeah, talking about load times, Miles Morales, from hitting play in the menu to playing the game, it's like 1 second. It's crazy.
That's another good thing that Astrobot shows off, actually. Right. They're going from the hub world into the little level worlds themselves. Kind of jump through a little portal, maybe 2 second animation, and then you're in. I'm kind of having to retrain the way I play games because I'm so used to having my phone next to me, and it's here we go. Got a good minute here where I can do some scrolling, check Messenger. But it's like, I was playing Miles Morales last night, and it's like there is no time to kill in any of these games that I've played so far.
And it's nice that it just allows you to not worry about, like, so playing Demon's Souls, for example, in the PS3 version, you go back to the Nexus, which is like your hub bit, and it'd load for a fucking minute to get there and then to go home. And you'd have to go back there to buy stuff off of shop people and all that stuff. And it was such a fucking hassle. And now it's sick. It takes 2 seconds and you're back there and you can whop around wherever you like.
In a game like that where you're dying a lot, you want that immediate, like when we've talked about something like Crash Bandicoot, where
Super
it's like
Meat Boy.
Hard, you die heaps, but it's
1 second
and you're back. It makes it so much less frustrating. That's the thing that I've been frustrated in games where previously that are like hard or you die a lot. It's like, this is just such a slog to get back to that bit again.
Dude, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying playing Demon's Souls. It looks fucking amazing. It runs great. It plays exactly the same as the PS3 version of the game. So honestly, like, whatever. If you've played that one to death, maybe this isn't a selling point.
Sure.
And also, it does make it feel like it's 11 years old at points.
Right, right.
But it's fucking cool as shit. And all the loading stuff makes a huge difference to it.
I started it last night. Never played one of these games before.
Right.
I love it. Cool. I'm fucking hooked. I tried to sneak in a little session before you guys got here because I was up really late playing it. I started off as a barbarian class at the start of it. The one thing I would say where it shows its age a lot is that it doesn't really explain to you a lot of what's going on. That is something that you kind of do have to go.
It was also weird at the time, though.
Right.
Like, it's partly just these games are kind of strange in that way.
Right.
Where, like, you sometimes are better off just looking up a, like, here's a guide to getting started on this.
Bloodborne, well, I had to do.
Right.
Yeah. I had no idea what was going on.
So, I started off as this barbarian class, and I kind of was starting to get the grips of it, playing for ages and getting further and further in, and, you know, in the way that you do, you kind of learn the layouts of the rooms, you get ambushed, and then you know the next time you get around there, was able to kind of start getting further and further, but still getting whooped pretty repeatedly.
Right.
And then finally had to call it a night. I was just sitting in bed reading like a tips and tricks kind of thing, and one of the main things I read recommended, if you're new to these things, start off as a soldier or royalty. So I went back and I started a new thing.
It's a key to real life too. If you can just you can start off as royalty, oh my god, way easier.
But yeah, going back through it and having, I would actually, if you're new to it, I would actually kind of recommend doing it this way.
Yeah.
Start off with one that isn't the best for you as a newcomer. Get the lay of the land and the controls and everything, because then going through it with the ability to cast magic and being a little bit stronger and already knowing the layout of, like, the first part of this first area felt sick. Being able to kind of, like, go through and charge through a little bit, it was, like, so satisfying. And, yeah, it looks amazing. The main reason I went on it, I kind of wasn't sure if it would be for me or not, but it's, like, the one exclusive. It looked incredible from all the stuff I'd seen of it. And I just went, you know what? I've just gotten this thing. I may as well get the thing that for the moment is going to show it off graphically the best that it can. And yeah, I'm fucking loving it. I love all the really positive, like, community stuff around it, the sharing the notes and all that kind of stuff. The more I read about it, was like, yeah, read the messages, because it's a pretty good self-policing community.
It's people a multiplayer game, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, people leave little notes warning you about ambushes and stuff around the world.
Yeah.
And it's
and you can basically, like, upvote or downvote those things. Oh, so sure, that, like, people who are just leaving fake ones. Sometimes there are joke fake ones that are, like, at the edge of somewhere. It's like, try jumping.
Yeah, right.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And there's heaps of that stuff.
This feeling of, like, it's this really hard game. Everyone knows that it's a really hard game, and that we, the players, are all teaming up against the developer to fucking beat this fucked thing that they've made. We are all in this together. We don't want to laugh at anyone for not being able to do it because we were all in the same boat once. I just found that really endearing about it.
Totally. And the good thing about the difficulty is that it's fair.
Yes.
You know how you fucked up every time you do, and it has that thing like old arcade games, like NES games, where when you fuck up, you're like, ah, if I'd have done it this way, I'd have been fine.
Yeah.
So, and the thing that you're progressing, like, yeah, you get the souls to spend on experience and stats and whatever, but you're progressing your skill at it.
Yes.
And that feels so much more satisfying than anything else.
And it just feels, it doesn't, I don't mind going back and doing it all again because it feels good to play and it looks fantastic. And it is this, like, beautifully crafted, intricate, NES level of, like, level design and craft that feels fun to go through and feels very considered and very well thought out that, like, it's so frustrating to this morning resetting and starting a new character. I got further than I, like, way, way further than I had last night. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get past this area. And then got destroyed by a dragon on a bridge. I was like, all the way back to the start. But it's just like, all right, well, now I, you know, I know what's coming. And it's like getting past the bit that you got to last time and then being in uncharted terrain has
and then you'll unlock
amazing
something.
Feeling of like, I don't know what's coming now.
Or you'll just eventually find a way that you can run through it if you're going back to a boss, or you can unlock some shortcut there's always something that seems just out of reach that when you get to it, then it's like, here's the next thing that's just out of reach.
Yeah, I love it. And I just think it looks stunning. I think it's the best thing to show off this console. Like, it's so smooth and it's...
It's crazy as well. Definitely anyone who plays it, playing in the performance mode with the 60 frames a second and wait. Because, like, the cinematic mode is the other one, which kind of, like, ups the resolution a bit, but it's not that different.
Right.
And it's crazy how it is 11 years old now and it still feels modern. If you'd have said this was a new game that was coming out of the launch.
Right, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know at all.
It's not, and they haven't changed the gameplay one bit.
Yeah.
So you can see how this fucking kicked off back in the day.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But yeah, they've changed like all the animations and everything, but they all run at the exact same time as the old ones and all that stuff. Like, they've really stuck to the original. And it, for better and for worse, there's some things about the original that maybe could have been changed a bit.
Mm.
There's this whole world tendency thing where, like, different things can happen based on how many other players have died in the area, and it's just a bit unwieldy.
And it also is not explained to you in any way.
Right.
It literally is a thing in the menu that's like, what the fuck is this? And then I had to look it up, and it's like, I still sort of don't really get it. There's a couple of odd little camera things where it's like you go into a room and then there's a guy waiting there to ambush you, but it feels so much more difficult to prepare for it because as you go through the door, the camera is like swinging around and, you know what I mean, like going into a tight space from outside. But
you can change the particular settings on the camera to make that sort of stuff a bit better.
Right.
And it has like cool filters that you can turn on to like make it look like the original and stuff like that. It's just a really fucking well done remake of it. It's weird seeing those characters talk with their mouths. They were just like, would sit there in the original. And they got like these creepy British accents and stuff, all of them. And it looks really strange having them make eye contact with you. Like, you go like, whoa, the first time. But it's fucking awesome. And anyone who hasn't played a Souls game, this was the original. So it's a good jumping in
point. Good jumping off point. Yeah, I really am liking it so much more than I expected to. And I totally understand. Like, because I'd heard you talk about the specific things like the leaving messages before, but thought, oh yeah, that sounds kind of cool. But until you actually are seeing it in practice, and I guess they must be moderated in some way, right?
That like it's just the moderated fact that by
not like I'm Pickle Rick dotted around the world. Just like.
Well, so to make them, you've only got a set group of words and phrases that you can use. That helps it. It's that they're constructed from pre-baked phrases.
Right.
Pickle Rick is one of them. People just don't use it.
They had Wubba Lubba Dub Dub back in those days, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this was the original Szechuan sauce. Whatever. Tiger Blood.
Yes.
It's a very fucking good game, and the more and more you play of it, the more you want to as well. Moorish.
It's so Moorish. And yeah, it's a shame that there's not like a demo, or we don't live in a time where you can rent it, because it's not going to be for everyone. But I really reckon if you've got the means to try it in some kind of, you know, most places do exchanges or whatever, or borrow it from someone, but I definitely think it's worth a crack.
Yeah. Or like, you know, sometimes it just takes a few goes at these and stuff. I know you've had two goes at Bloodborne and didn't get into it.
Yeah.
Maybe this one would click for you for some reason.
Sure, sure.
But because I just think they're so fucking good. Like, all the different weapons feeling so different from one another and fucking around with each of them too over time, all the different spells. There's so much in it.
Yeah.
And like you say, you can go through the same areas multiple times because the enemies are well designed enough that the combat is slightly different every time. Like, you still, you have to think every time you're fighting something.
Yes. It's a completely new encounter. And yeah. And it doesn't feel, I just thought it would feel, I thought it would make me feel bad at it in a way that I wouldn't enjoy. I kind of thought, I'll start playing this and I'll just get absolutely demolished every time and I'll just be like, this isn't fun and I feel bad at it. Mm-hmm. Even when you're getting just destroyed, you don't feel like, you don't feel bad at it. You don't feel overpowered. You don't feel like you're at a huge disadvantage.
Sure.
You just feel like you've got to learn what they're doing and tighten your reflexes a little and work out a strategy. And like,
you
for
can
me, it was
see what you could
like,
have done differently to get through it that time. And that is the, and then when you go back, that works.
Yeah.
That's the real good fucking feeling about
and
it.
Like, I was getting okay at close range combat and then now I'm going back and playing with long range magic.
Yeah.
It's just like completely
you can
different
fucking decimate
game.
Them with magic. Yeah,
exactly.
Stuff, yeah. And then, there's all these different ways of playing it like that, all these different types of characters you can make and set up your own challenge where you're like, okay, I'm only going to use this dumb fucking axe for a bit, and that makes it difficult in this way, but it's fun because I played it a bunch. So, it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Good launch game.
Has been for a decade. So, it's also a bit weird that it's like this remake is like the big tentpole launch game for this console. But
yeah,
it's good.
I mean, if it's that good,
it looks fantastic. Like, it you know, it was biting off more than it could chew graphically back in the day, so it's like the perfect candidate. It is such a
having
funny
it running so smooth with no slowdown and stuff is a game changer.
Yeah,
and it is a game.
It is such a funny launch lineup to have a the big ones. I think what most people would be picking up is this a you know, a remake of a decade-old game that is very prohibitive to a newcomer.
Pretty niche.
And then the other big one, a comic book game that is very fun and a real romp and basically glorified DLC. It's like, I think they're both great. I think they're both great. Like, they're both, that's a great, like, tentpole of lore, but it's such a funny little lineup.
Mm. Well, yeah, how's Spider-Man? I haven't gotten into that yet.
It's, so, what did I play before it? A bit of Yakuza, like a dragon, and a bit of Valhalla. And yeah, I think, Tommy, you said this in the chat, and so did I. The start of Spider-Man Miles Morales is very impressive. It's very cinematic. It feels like a AAA game. It feels like, oh yeah, I got a new console and I got a new fucking game too.
Right. Yep.
And it really, jumps out of the blocks. But after that, it's like, oh yeah, it's pretty much just Spider-Man.
More of the same.
PS4,
that game is 2 years old now or something. I remember it quite vividly.
Yeah.
So
it's mechanically, I mean, I didn't go back into it. I played through the story and then I left Spider-Man alone.
Yeah.
Mechanically, from my memory, it feels the same.
Sure.
Which is great. It was super fun to swing around the city. Combat is very close to the Batman Arkham style, which I still find to be the most enjoyable sort of third-person combat there is in games. I don't love when people try and mix it up too much.
Right.
Which, you know, innovation's good, but also good things are good.
Sure.
I'm enjoying it, but I'm not being blown away by it, I think.
Yeah, I never quite finished the first one. I got pretty far in it, and I kind of wanted to go back to it. And at a certain point, there's so many little combos to remember and stuff that I just went, I think I've left this too long. So I kind of like starting fresh on this one.
Yeah.
And it reteaches you all the combos again. And so, I was playing it last night and going like, oh, cool. And I guess the benefit of this is I could play through this and then I'll be able to transfer my save of the first one over onto this and finally finish that off because I'll be up to speed with it again.
Okay.
And that, like you said, that intro is really impressive. It is kind of what you want in firing up a new game on a next gen console that you've just bought. The leap between cinematic and gameplay is so fluid. Mm-hmm. The graphical touches are great. It's similar to, I guess everything is going to be similar to this now, where it's got a performance mode or it's got a cinematic mode. And I think it defaults to, I think it's the opposite of Demon's Souls, where it defaults to the lower frame rate.
They want to show off the ray tracing.
Whereas, Demon's Souls, the fluid movement is kind of the more important thing.
Yeah.
I've only really done the like very opening thing, and then the first kind of mission where you're just still learning moves and stuff. But yeah, how long is it meant to be? It's not
like 10 or 11 hours or something?
Yes.
Like a 3-hour tour, but it goes for way longer than that.
Oh, okay.
It was only meant to be a 3-hour tour. But it lasted for a long time. I'd lost track of what you were talking about. What were you talking
about?
Very
specifically, no black people in Gilligan's Island, I feel like.
I guess so, yeah.
I like Miles Morales as a protagonist. I will say that. And you specifically get to contrast him with Peter Parker at the start of the game, and it's like, oh yeah, Peter Parker is kind of one of the more boring protagonists in comic books, I feel like. He's just a plucky kid.
He's quippy.
He's a quippy kid.
Yeah.
He's smart. And he gets bitten by a spider.
Mm.
Miles Morales, like, he has that backstory from the previous game and, I guess, the comics, which, you know. His dad blew up.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, for a lot of people, the most striking thing about the first Spider-Man game was that it's not an origin thing. He's been Spider-Man for several years at that point.
Having all of those villains come in, like, pretty rapidly was cool.
Every movie has done the origin so many times. Yeah. So just it being a firmly established thing was pretty cool. But now with this one, you're kind of getting, you know, he's new to it.
Yes.
You're getting the, like, unsure, like, kind of learning as he goes kind of thing. The one thing I find kind of funny, and I do like this about it, is having an African-American Spider-Man and swinging around the city and having like kind of subtle trap beats.
I wasn't sure if I was going to bring that up, as opposed to
the stirring orchestral music that was in the first one. I like it as a matter of personal preference, does.
I don't know.
It feels a little on the nose, even though I do like it as a matter of taste. Like,
I can't tell if it's like, cool, this is culturally a nice switch up.
Yeah.
Or is it... I don't know.
Because it's not like Peter Parker's favorite music was heroic orchestral.
Yeah.
You know? Right. So
he's a big fan of Howard Shore and John Williams. Loves that, Zimmer.
It works. I mean, that's the thing. It does feel... I like that feeling of that in a world as you're swinging around more than the kind of like bland, very generic orchestral stuff. So it's kind of making me feel a bit more... in the game for whatever reason.
Having a comic book game that's aesthetic isn't I am a comic book game first. You know what I mean? That sounds good to me.
Yeah. But it is, it's strange. It feels, and like the menus, the what would you call it when you put the disc in and before you've entered the game,
the splash screen?
The splash screen on the PS home screen has like a kind of generic, like, sounds like royalty-free trap music sample.
Yes.
Like, so immediately when you put
all
the
trap music
like...
sounds like that, though.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about that, too.
Right.
I don't know. I think maybe it's good. I'm not sure.
It could also just be that, like, we're out of touch.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. It's a little bit like... I think the thing that feels weirdest about it is that it is kind of generic sounding when they just had that Spider-Man movie... the Spider-Verse one that has Miles Morales in it, that has a soundtrack of good rappers and stuff doing music for the film.
Sure.
Like Post Malone did a song for it. There is good... So there's very recently been a version of this story with good licensed rap stuff in it.
Sure.
And then this feels like very like didn't want to pay licensing fees, just get someone to put some drum loops on and it's like, oh man, with some licensed stuff in it, this would be banging.
That's true. Maybe the problem is as much that it's just not very well executed as much as it's like a cultural pandering thing.
The first Spider-Man game had the same thing where it had like a Spider-Man theme that I couldn't hum for you now.
Right.
Because it was just like, ba, 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 ba. You know, it was just like auto-generated superhero stuff. So, yeah, that sounds like it's just a continuation of that thing.
Mm.
It's basically the comparison's been made, but like the Uncharted Lost Legacy thing, right? Where same game, new story, shorter.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's cool, though.
And, yeah, I mean, as a good, even though it's available on the PS4 as well, a good showcase of what the PS5 can do. Nice lighting effects.
It looks incredible, I reckon. Like, I do remember thinking that about the previous game, but... Mm. You know, this is probably for me the best showcase of the PS5's sort of the new power.
Right.
Like the New York depicted in it looks fucking incredible. Like the fact
different
that
time of year too. Like
yeah, is, true. Yeah, winter time.
Difference as well.
But that sunset where you see that light touch every little building, every tree as you're swinging past, and it all changes, and it's a beautiful gradient. And then like jumping off the Empire State Building, or like being at the top and being like, I think I see a puddle, and then jumping all the way down and being like, yeah, that's a puddle, and now I can see my reflection in it.
Yeah, yeah,
is pretty cool. Like that's insane.
Yeah, I'd forgotten. Like I really did love the combat in the first one, and so more of the same of that. I don't mind like doing all the little combos, like launching people into the air and then webbing them and all that kind of stuff is yeah, super fun. And just swinging around feels great. I read a thing that recommended like walk around for the most part with all the ray tracing and stuff on, and then have a sesh where you click it over to 60 frames for just pure swinging around, because that feels like really great as well. And I mean, that's kind of the thing about this new gen already that's kind of annoying me. I don't like having in the back of my mind like, this could look different in this way, but I have to compromise this thing of it. It's kind of annoying to have to make that choice.
That has been a thing on the PS4 Pros for a while, because they've had the same settings where it's like, do you want to crank up the frame rate a little bit? Or And this is a PS4 game that's coming over as well, so I'm assuming that that will stop.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm assuming that sort of stuff will stop happening, because like these are PS4 games that they have the spare horsepower to do either of those things on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, but when it is a PS5, Demon's Souls as well, which is... But I do hope at a certain point it's just like, yeah, this is the game. I can go, I want it fluid. I like that smooth feeling. But then, you know, if I'm looking at a really nice environment, there's a part of me that's going to think, oh, what would that look like? And I got this nice TV. Why have this nice TV if you're not going to have the effects cranked all the way up? It's just like, it's kind of an annoying little thing that I can't silence in my brain if I have that option.
That's the problem I have with PCs.
Right. Time, yeah. You know? Yeah. But then, like, you're not... I think I will always go for the graphical fidelity over the fluidity, because I don't, apart from games like that we've talked about before, like a Breath of the Wild, where in instances you get frame rate drops and you get juddering and stuff. If we're just talking about a slightly lower frame rate, I'm probably not going to notice that. And I tend to prefer that higher aesthetic value, I guess.
I guess it depends what you're doing. Like I think the Spider-Man thing is a good example, where this review that I read specifically said, do some swinging around in 60 frames.
Right.
Because it's fast movement, so it feels really good.
Mm.
Walking around the environments and stuff and fighting, like, yes, lighting effects and all that, you probably want more, because it is a very impressively built city. And something like Astrobot is 60, and I think you would really notice if it did. For something very cartoony, you would notice if it had that scaled down thing, because it's that super smooth feeling to it is such a part of the charm.
For whatever reason, this stuff has started to make a difference to me lately, the frame rate stuff, so I'm appreciating having them all run nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, and speaking of more of the same, I was playing a bunch of Call of Duty. It's a good one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play this one.
Man, the single player, the campaign is pretty good this time. It's all bullshit, parallel world, almost conspiracy theory stuff.
So this...
like, what a time for that.
I think the last Call of Duty game I properly played was Black Ops 1. And I believe this is a sequel to Black Ops 1.
This is a direct sequel to Black Ops 1.
Yes.
Look up the story of Black Ops 1 again, or like even play through it if you can be bothered.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is a direct sequel to 2010's Black Ops.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's been a Black Ops 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Is this the one that that they showed in one of the PlayStation reveal things?
Yeah,
where
they
it was
were
like
shooting
a little
at the
buggy
plane. Yeah.
Driving. Yeah, 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 right.
That's like the first thing in it.
Right.
And so the campaign kicks off in this way where you are working out of like a CIA safe house, and you're going to do all these different missions. And there's a couple of side missions that you're trying to look for evidence for during the other missions to solve actual puzzles, to figure out more about the people who are the targets of the missions so that you can complete them more successfully, which is a really cool little thing. There's little almost RPG-ish mechanics of talking to all your teammates, very light.
Yeah.
Of like, there's three dialogue options and you can go through all of them. But it's a cool addition, and it works because they have all these really sort of cartoony, almost like, you know, CIA hardhead characters who you're interacting with in like... fucking Ronald Reagan is in the first cutscene. You know what I mean? Like, it's real weird.
Fuck yeah.
Nice.
Like, and it's
I am not a crook.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, you're going to finish this description and then say, now watch this drive. We know presidents, guys. We know presidents.
Oh, damn. We haven't talked about that on the podcast.
I know.
So the single player campaign is like one of the best ones they've had maybe since Black Ops 1. I liked one last year, but this one I'm like just sincerely enjoying.
Mm.
It's got lots of little bits and pieces hidden around and I'm liking that. I've played some of the multiplayer and that is Call of Duty again.
Yeah.
Let's not waste time talking about it. Everyone knows what that is at this point, but it's a good one of those.
Sure. Yeah.
It's got the Warzone mode from the last one that is also free to play built into it too, which takes up 85 gigabytes of your hard drive or something in addition. And it's kind of weird that a free-to-play thing is then also just a menu option in this. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it kind of makes sense too because that's where they're making a lot of money.
Can you not install that if you choose?
I don't believe so. I think you have to have everything installed at this point. I could be wrong about that because they are in sort of separate packs. So maybe you don't and I just happen to install them. But yeah, if you do have them all installed, it is a lot.
Yeah.
I think you actually may be able to not have them all. Look it up.
Sure.
That's another relatively new thing that's been kind of annoying me, the like install thing that's like it'll be like ready to play and you go, great. I think this happened to me with Crash Bandicoot 4 and then I did the tutorial and it was like, hey, you got to download and install the rest of it. I'm like, what? I thought it was downloaded. And this was at a point where my internet at home was really playing up and then it was like two more days until I could play the fucking game.
The ready to play thing is,
that's really annoying.
And then there's a zombies mode, which I haven't tried yet because I've never really liked them, but a lot of people do. And that one, that is also in here. It is another high quality, expensive looking. It runs really fucking well. It's got a high budget for licensed music.
Oh,
great.
Because it's like flashbacks to NAMM and stuff.
Yes.
So they're trying to find a fresh take on that where it's like, has anyone used Spirit in the Sky in one of these movies yet? Let's use that.
What about All Along the Watchtower?
Well, so that's not it. They really are trying to use ones that weren't in there, but
yeah.
It's a good plot for a movie. The soundtrack guy, the soundtrack coordinator on a movie about NAMM. He's just like, I'm determined to make this one stand out. And he's just like, he's like on a journey to find music from the 70s that hasn't been chucked
That'd be
into
funny.
Every fucking NAMM movie yet.
But then the whole soundtrack is like Fortunate Son and shit.
He's just, he just researches in the wrong way. So he watches NAMM movies, but just like the obscure ones that don't have soundtrack.
He plays it for them and it's all these NAMM movies like Wise Men Say. It's the only one I could find, I'm sorry.
Baby, Baby, it's cold outside.
Oops, I did it again. Yeah, we could do 100 more songs that wouldn't fit in NAMM movies. Umbrella, Ella, you get it.
Yeah.
But it's a good, high-quality Call of Duty game that I'm enjoying playing in the goofy way that I enjoy playing those games.
You feel a little less guilty about playing this one than the previous ones.
In some ways. In other ways, like, it's maybe more disrespectful to actual wars than ever. But it's so cartoony that I'm not thinking about it.
Right.
Because
it's
not trying to be gritty and then also being fucked.
Yeah.
It doesn't come across quite as war crimey as some of them. But it still is, you know, over the top.
What does it rank on the Adam Knox war crimeometer for video that you ascribe to every video game from Mario to Call of Duty?
Yes.
Like Clinton?
Sure. Okay.
Quite high.
Yeah.
Not nothing.
But not the worst.
And also just like charming enough that you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Same with Obama.
Playing the saxophone.
Yeah. This is a Democrat war crime. Where you know.
Sure. Yeah.
That's another good option for players of every console other than a Switch. And you can play it on the PC. It's a good Call of Duty game.
Nice.
You know, if you're in or not for that.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something?
No, do I have to?
No.
I can
you
if you want.
You like you were going to.
I haven't played Bugsnax.
Yes. Yeah. Which is free.
Yes,
I almost got it last night.
Me
and
too.
I thought, what the fuck am I doing this for?
I'm going to play Bugsnax.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's meant to be like a...
from the makers of Octodad.
Yeah, but it's like a... you solve puzzles and collect shit. That's my jam.
All right.
Yeah, that does sound pretty cool, actually.
I'm going to give it a go, but I'm exactly. Maybe in like March.
I started God of War again. I think after getting a taste of the Nordic stuff in Valhalla and being like, I remember the great great version of this.
Yeah.
And it's like, it looks sick. I guess probably it doesn't look a heap better than it did on PS4 Pro.
It's that just, version that it's running.
Right, right,
but
right.
But the frame rate is slightly better, I believe, if you have it in that mode.
Right. It looks amazing.
But you missed that, right? You didn't have a Pro.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 It's incredible. I guess that's, yeah, if you didn't have a Pro and you can get one, the PS5 is also for you because, yeah, it's every game that I played on it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, definitely wait for a PS5 to be available rather than getting a PS4 Pro cheap at that point.
Big time.
I'd say, especially with that PS Plus, those games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say you played Yakuza as well?
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's really good.
Sick.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I really want to... I've been playing a bit more of Yakuza 0 and really, really enjoying it. And I'm keen to... I almost picked it up the other week and then I was like, you know what, I'll just wait until the PS5 version is out in Feb or something like that.
It's like March the 2nd.
Yeah.
I'm right. Pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm also like sitting on a copy of that because... I think it was a Microsoft branding deal is the reason it's taking so long.
So they got it day one.
Because the Series X version is like being promoted heavily by them.
Sure.
So I think that's the reason for the delay, which is annoying, but whatever.
Let's wait and do a big review when it comes out on PS5.
Well, I want to play some Spider-Man and we'll talk about that some more probably at some point. Yeah. Demon's Souls is a long game. There's other stuff out, right? I can't even remember.
Oh, I'll do one last quick thing. I'll show you guys this.
What is happening?
Oh, he's unzipping his pants. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Before my PS5 turned up, what I did get was the Mario Brothers Game & Watch mini thing. It's on the there's a power thing on the right side. Yeah. There you go.
You narrate.
Pretty nice.
So it's a game over screen. Weird that one of Tommy's things comes up immediately with game
turned
over.
Turned off immediately.
Yeah. Well, World 1.
Well, it takes you back to World 1-1.
I mean, yeah, okay, so this looks like a beautifully, fluidly running version of Super Mario 1.
I'm playing Super Mario Brothers 1 on an LCD screen.
Yeah. The music's the same. No, they haven't used an auto-generated trap beat on this one, which is a bit of a disappointment. Yeah, this is sick. And so what? This is also a clock?
Great quality... Great quality screen.
It does. It's a very nice, crisp little screen.
3:19 p.m. currently.
Yeah.
Made of bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much? I this is a little collectory thing, so I guess it doesn't really...
It's a cool little knick-knack and nothing more. There's a million ways to play Mario Brothers. It's cool that... Yeah, it's cool that it runs on a little thing like that. The screen is a lot better quality than I was expecting it to be. It's got a little Game & Watch game in it as well.
I believe these have been hacked already some capacity. I don't know what that gives you, what benefits that could. Ben's died. Well, look at the pot who called the kettle bad at Mario.
I mean, if you could chuck an entire NES emulator on there.
Imagine that. That'd be cool. Sick. Yeah. It doesn't have a start or a select button though, does it?
No.
No, it's just got the A and the B because why would you? Because there's like a dedicated pause button up the top. Okay. Yeah, cool. That's nice. It's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's very light.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's smaller than an iPhone.
Did we say what it is?
Yeah, it's the Game & Watch.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers
Game & Watch. It's pure nostalgia. The box the box is made to feel like the old packages of the old Game & Watches. That really
like that
old kind of like frayed cardboard kind of feel.
Sick.
Yeah, which is a nice little touch. It's pure nostalgia.
Yeah.
Pure little gimmicky knick-knack kind of thing, but as one of them, it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's cool.
You can feel that Nintendo still knows how to make a D-pad if they want to as well.
Yes.
When it suits them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got ball. Hold on, I'm going to play some ball.
It's got ball?
Yeah, I'm about to come. Do you understand?
Oh, so it's got an actual Game & Watch game.
It does have an actual Game & Watch game on it, which is like a Mario-themed version.
That would have been... I guess this was a celebration of the Mario specifically. But one of these with every Game & Watch game on it...
100%.
I would eat my dick off for one of those.
The clamshell ones as well.
Have to play ball after that.
Yeah, the old big clamshell ones that had the double screens.
I used to have a bomb disposal one and a Popeye one.
Yeah, I had Greenhouse... And I had Snoopy Tennis, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... the NES and SNES Mini version of... Yeah, the Game & Watch version of that would be...
Because this is really nicely built and it looks cool on this LCD screen because, like, it still looks the visuals are of the Game & Watch style.
Yeah.
Yep.
In a successful way.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm into it. This is cool.
Yeah.
Nice little bit of fucking bullshit to have around your house.
It yeah. sure is.
Nice yeah. little thing that when you move next, you'll be like, ah. Oh. When you're packing it away.
Yeah, oh God. How am I going to transport this to my new house?
Well, sure. No, not so much with that, but just like...
My entire back seat's filled with the PS5. Yeah,
it's the last thing I put in the box yes. that blows the bottom of the box out. Ah, no. All right, well, we better leave it there for another week. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode every week. We've got the premium Bandcamp episodes. Go and check them out. We've got our Let's Plays on YouTube.
Yes. Some sketches from our special, what's it called? PAX. PAX yeah. Online. We did a whole thing. There's an hour show and some sketches that are up on all the socials and YouTube.
I should watch them back, actually, because that was... I feel like in terms of lockdown madness, that was really the eye of the hurricane for all of us.
Yep, very true.
I was working on that while my girlfriend was in hospital. It really was the epicenter of just absolute Marby's deficit over
Sorry,
here.
Sorry, I've got to go. I'm making a sketch about giant tits in Metal Gear Solid. Yeah.
I was working on it while I probably should have taken myself to hospital.
But check it out. Guys, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
I made it play that.
Nice. Now do the thing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.